Drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Morning, everybody, and welcome to the CDGA Golf Show. My name is Mike Gilligan, and we are trying to bring in Tyler Rocky from far, far away out in North Carolina, but wanted to say welcome and welcome to British Open weekend, or as they say over the seas, the Open. The 152nd playing of the Open Championship at Royal Troon. Hard to believe that this event got started just 500 yards down the road at Prestwick back in 1860, where the gentlemen, only eight of them, played 12 holes. They played two rounds of 12 holes, had a bit of lunch, went back out and played another 12 holes, and they called that the very first Open Championship 152 years ago today. So it's amazing. We have come a long way since, and as we look at the leaderboard, we have ourselves quite a leaderboard at that. Mr. Shane Lowry is leading things off, two shots ahead of Mr. Daniel Brown and Justin Rose. Justin Rose, a guy that plays traditionally the hardest courses very, very well, and he is definitely doing that this week. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I hear Tyler, who just came on. Are you there, Tyler?
You got me. You got me now, Mike?
You got it. Take over, buddy.
All right, well, I heard you start to get into what the leaderboard looks like, and like you said, Shane Lowry, your leader right now, but quite the interesting leaderboard, I feel like, when you look at some of the guys who are making some moves so far today to get themselves back into the thick of things. You look at guys who are already off to some stellar rounds today, like Justin Thomas, who started hot on Thursday, then fell back a little bit yesterday, but he's right back in, and he's now inside the top 10 after... He is 5-under right now through 14 holes, and then you've got guys like Sam Burns making a run into it right now. A lot of low scores today, so it feels like today is sort of anyone's day, and especially when you look at the top of the leaderboard, there are plenty of unproven names, and maybe a Scotty Scheffler. It feels like this could be one of those roaring days for him where he goes 5-6-under today and really puts some pressure on Lowry at the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, there is no question about that. The first 2 days has been nothing but ain't it a Shane. He has been absolutely lights out, hitting 15 of 18 greens yesterday, making it look pretty easy on a day that otherwise I thought was pretty, pretty hard. You know, he was one of the nine out of the top 10 that started late on Thursday, played early yesterday. And there was only one individual, and that being Justin Rose, who actually went out early and played late in more of the tougher conditions, once again showing that Justin Rose excels when he has the toughest of conditions in front of him. So you're right. We do have a leaderboard with names that we're familiar with, and names we're going, who is that? Like, Thurston Lawrence. I mean, Thurston Lawrence, I thought that guy was on Gilligan's Island for a second. But seriously, you know, we're going to see some new names, names that we've never seen. And I think that's one of the endearing things about the Open, how it opens our eyes to some of the greatest players around the globe that we just don't get to see traditionally on the PGA Tour.
Right, and you're exactly right on that. I mean, you look at the guy who's in second right now, Daniel Brown, probably a name that not many golf fans are super familiar with there, but I think it's been good for the leaderboard today that you're seeing this charge up by some of these guys like JT, like a Sam Burns, even a Sungjae Im had himself a really nice day today. And I think it's going to be important to see some of these other guys really step up today. I think a couple names that I'm really looking at, a guy that you picked. And by the way, you are in sole possession of first place, my friend, out of, I think, over 5,000 people in our CDGA fantasy golf pool right now. You hit it on the head. And I think a big reason why is you've got Dustin Johnson. And that feels like a guy who's got brand recognition. But I think at this point in his career, it's brand recognition in a bad way, because I think everyone's afraid to pick him because he has been pretty brutal these last couple of years, pretty much since he went over to LIV. And he's off to a good start right now. He's got pretty much the whole course in front of him right now. But he's tied for 21st. Brooks Koepka is going to be another big name to keep an eye on. Colin Morikawa as well. But to me, one of the big stories that we've seen out of this Open is the revitalization of John Rahm. And he just birdied on three. But the way that John Rahm has put himself back in the thick of things after withdrawing from the U.S. Open last week and after some lackluster performances at the PGAs and the Masters, to see John Rahm back in the thick of things, that could be a great story when we get to Sunday. If he's sort of hovering around that final grouping, he needs a strong day today, but if he can get into that final grouping, who knows, maybe he's paired up with a Scottie Scheffler, and it's those two kind of going for it at the end to try to overtake Shane Lowry and whoever he may be with.
And, you know, if that does happen, that's everything that we were hoping would happen, even going back to last year, that these two might be the front-facing, you know, most talented players to take us through the next few years of competitive professional golf. And what I'm excited about is to see John Rahm back to being John Rahm and feeling comfortable wearing the LIV gear, but playing good golf with his former colleagues and current colleagues on LIV, but at the same time, feeling comfortable as to who he is. And I think it helped him to go over to the other side of the pond to get with the more of the European fans, the fans that might embrace him even more so than they would here. And I think he's starting to find his stride. And that, my friend, could prove big problems in 2025 when we get to our majors next year.
The other part of this is the guys who didn't make the cut. And three of the four favorites are among those that did not make the cut. Rory McIlroy really had an abysmal Thursday, and he let that play into his Friday. And he said after 22 holes, he was already thinking about where he was going on vacation for this one. Also, you got a cut of Ludvig Åberg and Bryson DeChambeau as well, also among the notable names that got cut. Some other big-time ones, though, too. Tyrrell Hatton not making it to the weekend. Tommy Fleetwood not making it to the weekend. I think both you and I were pretty high on those two to have a chance to make some noise. Here was an interesting one. Tony Finau looked like he was going to be in a position to win this thing. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, yesterday, he goes 10 over for his round, and that's with a birdie on 18. But basically, near the turn of the at Royal Troon, that's really what did him in. He goes on 80, goes bogey, then triples 9, bogey on 10, par on 11, and then a quad on 12. When you're putting a snowman on the card in an event like this, you're not going to find yourself in a favorable spot. So no Tony Finau through the weekend. Victor Hovland also missing the cut. And then a former champion as well, and Cameron Smith missing the cut as well, and a young up-and-comer in Tom Kim. There are some big-time names on this missed cut list as well. And of course, you can't. It goes without saying, but you have to throw Tiger Woods' name into that as well. Who knows? Is this the last time we'll see him or not at the Open? It's certainly tough to watch at this point. He goes through these, and then you kind of have a feeling once he'll maybe make a little bit of fireworks somewhere between holes 1 through 5, and then it's just all downhill from there.
You know, when you bring up Tiger's name like that, no doubt he had a very frustrating event, especially if you're a Tiger fan, but Tiger himself. But I did hear more positive comments afterwards than I've ever heard from him, even when he does play well, which leads me to believe that he thinks he's actually getting stronger and healthier. It's just not showing in his game yet. I think next year we could see Tiger play 8 to 12 events, and wow. I'm just thinking that that's where his mind's at. I don't think he's thrown in the towel just yet, but if next year doesn't go any better for him, I think next year could be it.
You know, I think you're right there. I do think health-wise, he does look a little bit better. Now it's kind of, all right, can I put together the 36-hole physical, like be physically ready to play 36, and then on top of that, perform for those 36 holes as well. And then we go from there. All right, what does it look like after 54? What does it look like after 72? But it's another miscut for Tiger, and the clock's not ticking any slower at this point for his career. But, yeah, in terms of the other guy, the other big names, who, I mean, I think it kind of goes without saying, but Rory McIlroy, probably the most surprising of the big-time cuts there. But if you told me he maybe missed this because he had a little bit of a rough day on a Friday and maybe he missed the cut by one stroke, all right, I could see that. He missed the cut by four strokes. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he looked out of it right from the get-go with Rory McIlroy. I was really surprised that he did not show up to play even one bit for this event.
Well, you know, and I think a lot of people were, but I think it does go to show you just how much Pinehurst unnerved him, affected him. And I don't think he's over it. And I think it's going to take him more time and maybe well beyond the Olympics, because I'm going to be interested to see how well he plays in the upcoming Olympics, because that's going to be the next time we see him. He's going to go into kind of that hiding, if you will, and he will resurface when we get to Paris, and we'll see. But I think this year, in all honesty, it might be coming to a very slow ending that Rory did not have any idea was going to happen. My hope is that the Olympics can turn this around for him. But what I saw out of Rory shocked me. I thought that we would have him somewhere hovering around inside the top 10 and being able to at least be somewhere in the discussion this weekend. I did not see him going home with missing the cut by not by one, but by four. No, I did not have that in my sights.
Yeah, it was a rough one for Rory, and just kind of looking at the way that, I mean, listen, the course showed its teeth, certainly with a lot of these top golfers. As I listed off all those names that did not make the cut for this event, I mean, this has been a tough course, it seemed like, those first 2 days. Now, the field's coming back a little bit on a day like today because of the way that we've seen a lot of low scores, and then we'll see how the leaders fare today. This is, by the way, the only time where you and I are on, and we do get to see the leaders tee off, because with the time difference over there across the pond. So Shane Lowry, your solo leader right now by two strokes, he will go off at 10:45 local time, central time. And then some other notable ones, you're going to get Justin Rose off and going at 3:35 and Scottie Scheffler in about 10 minutes from now at 10:25 central time. So you're going to get to see a lot of good golf being played. And I think a couple of the other notable names that have just started to get off and going right now, you've got Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay, the guys who you see them as Ryder Cup teammates. You see them in the Zurich Classic play together, but they are playing together, and they are both at one under right now. And could this be the one for Patrick Cantlay? You know, we always talk about guys like him and Tony Finau in that circle of the not young and up and coming guys, but guys who are some of the best players in the world without a major. And could this be the one where Patrick Cantlay finally breaks through? It's going to be the conditions look a little bit different than what they did this morning when a lot of these guys were really going low. It looks like the rain's starting to pick up a little bit. So that could maybe factor in a little bit as well.
It is. And in fact, what they're saying is as this rain comes in, the wind's going to turn. So you can conceivably draw a tee time today that has you playing almost every hole in the wind. That could conceivably happen. And that could have a huge, huge impact on the top portion of this leaderboard, because when this wind and rain starts to change, it could be just as they're going out. So the weather, as it always is something to keep your eye on.
I'm thinking about it too. Like, could we be looking at this at the end of the end of round one, and maybe you see a guy like Thurston Lawrence is your leader because he got off earlier? Like he's already got about 12 holes in the books right now. And he's 7 under for the day. If he can kind of hold serve at 4 under for the event, four under may be your leading score at the end of the day when if you, the winds are moving like you are saying they are, and the rain's going to start to pick up even more. This could get pretty messy for guys like Shane Lowry. And then you look at some of the sort of the unproven names that are going to be teeing off a little bit later. Like, how does a Daniel Brown fare in those sort of conditions right there? That's going to be something that you certainly have to keep your eye on, because a lot of these guys may not be built for this level of golf once things get going here. So, the weather certainly, as it always is with the Open Championship, it's certainly going to be something to watch for. And, I mean, this leaderboard could get a real shakeup. And to be honest, I don't know how good that is going to be for the tournament if we are looking at the end of round three and a guy like Thurston Lawrence is your leader. But, I mean, at least we should go into Sunday with some drama. Unlike last year where Brian Harman was pretty much your runaway leader and by the end of Saturday the tournament was over, I don't think we're going to be getting that. It's just going to come down to what are the names that we're going to see in the thick of things once we get to Sunday for that final round.
No doubt. And hopefully, you know, it's not a Thurston Lawrence and a Daniel Brown, but it could conceivably do that. And that's what happens sometimes when the weather does this. It's so unpredictable and can provide such an advantage, especially on moving day, for those that are getting out early and posting a very strong round. And if they're within striking distance, to your point, they could find themselves very much in the top five when right now they're sitting at like eighth, ninth, or tenth.
Right. I mean, I look at guys like, all right, how does JT finish? He's through 15. He is even for the event and four under today. Can he squeeze out one or two more birdies for his remaining three holes there? And then a guy like Adam Scott, who's already into the clubhouse, he, like JT, is even right now, but he's five under. He was five under today and is tied for 15th. He's seven strokes off the lead, but if the leaderboard falls back a little bit and maybe he enters Sunday only four shots off the lead, maybe it helps him out a little bit there, because the weather in the latter portion of the day could play that level of factor in it. All right, when we come back, we will continue to talk about the Open throughout it. We'll give you some live updates because the event is taking place live with a bunch of the leaders and top names. Everyone will be on the course within the next half hour. But, Mike, you played in a really cool event yesterday. I want you to detail that. It was with our great friends over at Glenview Park and also with Robbie Gold. So I want to hear all about that event. That is all coming up next. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. This segment brought to you by PGA Superstore. Visit any of our Chicagoland locations today. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, talking golf with you as we do every single Saturday throughout the golf season. If you want to join us, 312-332-3776. Mike, I do want to get to your event that you played in yesterday real quick. But first, one of the things that I think has been great at Royal Troon, and I just saw it with Scotty Scheffler, is when these guys walk out to the tee, it almost feels like they're in a basketball or a football game and they're walking through the tunnel. It just, I don't know, something about it just got, it has a little bit more drama to it. It has a bigger feel to it. I think that's pretty cool the way that they kind of set up the tunnel for these golfers to walk out of to get to that first tee. It has like this big time stadium feel almost to it.
Yeah, it's like the old days when they would go into the, you know, to be the gladiators in Rome or whatever. It just, it does. It has so much more of a big event, big, big time. You know, you basically just appear in front of the crowd and then the gallery goes crazy. It is pretty cool. And I think the United States are starting to adopt a little bit more of this, but not to the fanfare that they do it over there. It's pretty special.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome there. All right, you had a spectacular event yesterday with some of our listeners that we gave a spot away to last week on the show. That's just another reminder. Always be sure to have that CDGA membership, because you never know when there's going to be little pop-up contests like this. And six listeners had a chance to golf with you and Robbie Gold out at Glenview Park last on Friday. And it looked like a beautiful day out for golf, and it sounded like it was an awesome event for all of you guys.
Oh, my gosh. First and foremost, the weather couldn't have been any better. I'm not sure there was anything that we could have done to make the day any better. We all arrived around 6 a.m., took some neat photographs, got the pleasantries and exchanges and introductions, and then everybody put their game face on. And we played as an eightsome. And what we did is we created 2 9-hole matches. So you were on Robbie's team, 1-9, and you were on my team, the other 9. And we played as an eightsome, and it was match play. And let me tell you, first and foremost, one thing is for sure, our listeners have game. And when I say our listeners, I'm talking about Ryan Paul, Colin Phelps, Nick Lapton, and let's see who else we had. RJ Kolstad, Dan Holm, and Mike Pauls are all joined, Robbie and I. And what was really, really cool is a few things. How golf is such a common denominator and like a universal language that can bring 6 perfectly good strangers together and instantly become new friends. And the other thing that we were able to do is to take the indexes and create 2 very equal teams. And as a matter of fact, the matches went down to the wire in each one. And fortunately, Team Gilly did come on top on the first match, 2-1. But then we tied match 2 level, but the tiebreaker was that our team won because we had the lower score. Thanks to the shot of the day by Mike Pauls, who holed out from a bunker for eagle on a par 4.
Wow.
And it was by far the shot of the day.
Do you remember which hole?
Yeah, it was 13.
Oh, yep. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in fact, we made sure we paid homage to the house that Tyler Aki grew up on after we finished the 15th green. But no, it was so fun. And it was interesting when Mike Pauls showed up. He was wearing a quarter zip, and it was a Chicago Bear quarter zip. And I was like, I've never seen that one for sale. There's something unique about that. And he eventually shared with me that he worked for the Bears at one time. And he asked me, he goes, I wonder if Robbie will remember me at all. Well, not more than a minute later, Robbie comes around the corner, and the first thing is, Mike, what are you doing here? And so those two hooked up, and afterwards, the stories that they were sharing with us were legendary. And the one that I thought was amazing, I guess Mike, you know, obviously was in the marketing side of the business for the Bears and had clients and the whatnot. So on game day, he shared with Robbie, I don't think he ever told Robbie this, that what Robbie would used to do is he'd go down to the corner of the end zone and get right at the side angle of the goalposts, not front on, but on the side. And then he would kick and hit the goalposts as part of his accuracy drills. And he admitted to Robbie that he always knew about what time on Sunday morning he'd do that. So he always arranged his tour to end on the field so that they could watch Robbie do that, because he thought that was one of the coolest things he ever saw in sports. And so I think Robbie was pretty touched by that. But Robbie is also a chatterbox, and he loves to give everybody a bunch of stuff, you know, while you're playing. And I think in the beginning it caught everybody off guard a little bit. But let me tell you, about 2 holes into it, it was game on, and everyone was giving it right back to him. Like, we know you're a legend, but right now you're a golfer just like us. And it was more fun than the law should allow. And I have to tell you, the guys up at Glenview Park, Ron Cassidy, Todd Vermillion, you know, Gibson Martin, all of them were the most amazing hosts for us. And the swag bags that were given out, it was Christmas in July. I mean, Kaylee Pulick at our office put together these swag bags that were absolutely killer. So all in all, the listeners had a great day. The feedback was phenomenal. And you know what they want? They want a Tyler Gilly match. So that's going to be the next one. We are going to make a date to go back up there and have another listener outing as such. We will be dew sweepers. We'll go out early. And it was great. Everybody was, I think, back in their offices by 11 a.m. It was just an awesome, awesome day.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah, I saw the pictures. It looked like a ton of fun out there. And I am up for your match. Once this pin comes out of my finger, which is supposed to be on Thursday, I don't know what the rehab process looks like after that. I don't think it's going to be too inhibitive. I think I'll be able to golf relatively quickly out of this. But once I kind of get a couple shots in me first and kind of get my feel for the game back, because I haven't swung a golf club in 6 weeks, unfortunately. But once I get the little bit of feel back for the game, I am in for that match, and I look forward to it. And I needed to get back up to Glenview Park because I think I've only logged 2 rounds there so far this year. I've only played like 6 times this year because of the injury, but I do definitely need to get back up to Glenview Park. And it sounds like it was an awesome event out there from the stories that you've told, from the pictures that I've seen. Everything looked fantastic out there.
It really was. And we had our videographer and photographer and Simon Schuler. Glenview Park District had their folks out filming it. And it was so cool because at one point I had no idea Robbie Gold had not played Glenview Park before. And he turned to me about the fourth, fifth hole, and he goes, "Mike, this place is amazing. Public golf course?" And I said, "This is what I'm telling you. It is perhaps one of the best hidden gems in our community. And if you've never played that golf course, you should." And Robbie found out why, and I know he'll be returning, as will a bunch of these listeners, because Ron was gracious enough to give everybody a come back and try it out on your own ball type of coupon, and we couldn't be happier. So thanks to Ron, Glenview Park, and specifically to Robbie Gold for being the gentleman that he is. And I look forward to seeing Robbie on Monday when he joins us at the CDGA biggest fundraiser golf outing at Ivanhoe for our foundation to benefit veterans on Monday. So Robbie was just a class act, as he always is, and a real friend of the show and a friend of the CDGA.
And, I mean, he's got to get those rounds in, too, because before you know it, football season will be here, and the coach's headset is going to come on for the new head coach of Rolling Meadows football. So he definitely has to get those rounds in before training camp gets going. And from what I understand as well, we have 4 individual coupons for a round and a cart at Glenview Park, all thanks to our guy Ron Cassie up at Glenview Park. So we will be giving those away throughout the show today as well. So just you got to make sure you're listening throughout the show, and you'll have a chance to win a free round over at Glenview Park. Not right now, but throughout the show, we will be giving away a few of those individual coupons there. So if you want to join us, 312-332-3776. We will also have Timmy Crawford on the show a little bit later. He has an exemption into this week's Corn Ferry Tour event and the NV5 Invitational at the Glen Club. So we will talk to him ahead of that. And he had himself a nice little ace to get himself in a Corn Ferry Tour qualifier. So we will talk to him, Loyola High School, and also played at Illinois as well from Arlington Heights. So we'll get his input on what to look forward to at the NV5. And also, on top of that, we'll pick his brain a little bit about what he's seen out on the golf course as well over at Royal Troon. And we will get back to some of the open thoughts and conversation. Just kind of peruse that leaderboard. Scotty Scheffler is off and running. Shane Lowry not too far behind him. He'll go off in about 10 minutes from now. So we will tell you and keep you updated on everything that's going on, take you through some of the cool stories that we see on the leaderboard as well. This segment's been brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our Chicagoland locations today. More talk with the Open coming up next. This segment brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. As we continue to break down the Open Championship, Justin Rose off and going now as the leaders are continuing to chip away and begin their rounds here on this moving day Saturday. And boy, you look at some of the rounds that have been put up so far, Mike, we could be in for a very interesting Saturday out at Royal Troon because of the fact that we had a very tame opening to the day, but weather certainly could be a factor as we move on throughout the day. Worth noting, Xander Schauffele has birdied on his first hole, so he is now 2 under for the event and a tie for 5th along with Scotty Scheffler as well. So there has been plenty of movement today. And a lot of the big names making a charge up the leaderboard. Guys like Schauffele, Justin Thomas had himself a nice rebound round. He is 4 under right now through 17, so he will finish up there. I do want to talk about one thing that the thing that really struck me yesterday was Shane Lowry's round. And I know, right? Like a hot take there. Like, the leader in the event had an amazing round yesterday. He did. He was 2 under yesterday. But I think it was a very, very odd 2 under when you look at the peaks and valleys of it all. It was up and down a little bit on the front nine. He ends up going 2 under on the front and plays even golf on the back. But his path to even on the back, there was a double on 11 where, I mean, there were all sorts of things going wrong for him. I'm sure he probably wishes his ball didn't get found at one point. But he ends up somehow with double. And I think double, given the circumstances of what he was playing with and what he was going through and the location of his tee shots and some of his irons, I think he would have gladly taken double on that 11th hole there, that par 4 11th. But the putt he had on 18 kind of felt like the big-time postage stamp that he really needed to solidify that round, because after that double, he fell out of a sole place of first, which he had really claimed and had a pretty good grasp of the entirety of the tournament so far, as he's starting to get ready to go up for to tee off today. But that birdie on 18, the putt he had to kind of put the finishing touches on a very strong round for him. This is a course that, the way it's been playing the first 2 days, if you were sitting around par, you were going to have a chance to win this thing. But for him to get that extra birdie there on 18 to really solidify his round, I thought was the biggest shot he had all day.
There's no question about that. And I think he walked off of 18 in an amazing frame of mind versus what it could have been, with a very sour taste in his mouth leading into today. And I think in listening to his, you know, post press conference or post round press conference, you know, quotes, if you will, was how he found the crowd to be so in favor of him, even though he is an Irishman and he's over in Scotland. He said that he feels that a lot of Irish folk made their way over to Scotland this year. And if nothing else, then he's also, you know, achieved a lot of Scottish fans as well. But he feels like he's got the country and the people in the gallery behind him. And when you get a guy like Shane, who is as emotional as he can be at times, and he knows he's got certain things in his corner going for him, he's walking out on that first tee today with, I think, the healthiest mental makeup out of everybody on the field right now.
It certainly feels like that. I mean, it looked like there were a couple times through the first couple of days where things could go south for him. Like, he had the little spat between him and the cameraman as well. This is something that I feel like we've seen more and more of as of late with, I mean, it's been a big topic on the LIV Tour with Jon Rahm and how he doesn't like the drones out there. And then we see this with Shane Lowry, where he gets into it with a cameraman. Because he felt like the way that he had angled and positioned his camera and the movement was during his swing, and he wasn't happy about that. What have you made out of this kind of flare-up as of late, both on LIV and on in the majors and PGA Tour, about some spats with some of the cameramen on the course at that time? Is it just this guy's frustrated here and he has to find someone to take it out on? Or is this something that maybe companies like NBC and CBS and the CW really need to look into, about how the cameramen are shooting some of these shots?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they have a legitimate gripe at times. I think when the camera or the movement of the cameramen are so close to the action, that's on that cameraman for not, you know, respecting the etiquette or the space or the position that he's in relation to the golfer trying to play the shot. If it's a drone that's several hundred feet above your head and it's making what I consider white noise, much like, hey, a freight train's rolling by right now and I'm playing my shot. And trust me when I tell you, I see all kinds of trains running around Scotland. So when people or players get angry at the white noise hovering about them, I say to them, then go back to the Hooters tour or go back to where no fans care to watch you and see how much you like that. I mean, you just have to toughen up, Buttercup. But if they are truly getting, you know, infringed upon, distracted in a way that is, you know, blatant, obvious, and inconsiderate, then they have every right in the world to complain and to complain as loud as they want. Because it'd be no different if somebody walked into your office while you're working and just disrupted you in the midst of, you know, a thought, a writing, or what have you. But if you do it kindly, knocking and asking to come in and not startling the person, that's going to be received differently. Golfers are the same thing. You have to think of them as when they step up on that first tee, like they're walking into their office, and we have to respect how they make a living and how they go about their craft. But I do think that NBC, CW, and anyone else who's in the drone business are working on getting quieter drones. And I know that I think NBC's got a quieter one than CBS, but I think if they can go ahead and improve the noise levels on those, I think that the drones and some of the unique cameras that they have now imparted into golf have made the telecasts so much more enjoyable to watch, interesting to watch. And I think golfers, you better get used to it, because we as fans, that's what we want.
I mean, it's how every sport is shot these days, whether it's football, or really the exception of is basketball, because it's tough to really work with drones inside the confines of a stadium like that. But baseball, football, all of these now, it feels like this is kind of the way to go. This is the way that outdoor sports are shot these days. I do tend to err on the side of the cameramen in a lot of these sort of spats between players and the cameramen, because these cameras nowadays are so good. The zoom capabilities on a lot of them are so strong that I can't imagine they are that close to a lot of these golfers. And I mean, a lot of these cameras, some of them are stationary, some of them are planted in the ground, some of them are in towers. Like, I have a hard time sympathizing with some of these players. I'm kind of with you. Like, I can't imagine that, based on the technology that is present with these cameras these days, I can't imagine it playing that big of a role. These guys aren't right up on their tails. I mean, they are, I feel like, much further away than a lot of these other cameras that you see in different sports. So I would err on the side of the what you're seeing with the cameramen, as opposed to the golfers getting frustrated with the proximity and the movements and stuff like that.
No, I would totally agree with you. And I think that those players that have what we call elephant ears, they hear anything. They hear the squirrel chewing on a nut like five fairways over. Those guys need earplugs. And that's just that.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the way that some of these guys and the way that they react. Now, luckily for Shane Lowry, he was able to figure it out after. But with guys like John Rahm, like what we saw with him getting upset with the drones a couple weeks ago, he was not able to figure out. In fact, he hasn't really been able to figure out until this weekend. So it's something that I think is worth looking into, and I think you put it perfectly. If you don't want the cameras and stuff like that, then you have to also deal with the paycheck that comes with playing and not having those cameras out there as well. So 312-332-3776, whose side are you on? Are you team camera or are you team golfer on these little spats that you see popping up here and there? We'll continue to refresh that leaderboard for you as well. Shane Lowry and Daniel Brown, your final pairing for the day, is off and going right now. So we will tell you how they are faring. And another name that continues to move up that leaderboard is a former major champion from this season already. So we will update you on how all of that is going. It's going to be a very interesting top five and final couple pairings that we're going to have as we approach Sunday. So all that coming up next. This segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, home of 42 practice bays with Top Tracer technology. Everyone on the course now, as we are in the thick of moving day here on this British Open Saturday. And boy, that weather certainly has turned, Mike. If you look at some of these early shots from some of these later groups that have gone off. By the way, this segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. Xander Schauffele already with a couple birdies. He has moved up into a tie for fourth. He is 3 under, 4 off the lead right now. Shane Lowry, your leader, at 7 under. He's followed and being paired with Daniel Brown. Daniel Brown already finding himself in a little bit of trouble as well. Justin Rose in third right now, sole possession of third at 4 under. But the story so far today has been the performance of Thurston Lawrence, who is 6 under for the day. That got him to 3 under for the tournament, and he finds himself in a tie for fourth right now. So we'll see how he navigates the final couple of holes that he has to deal with on top of a could-be very, very pivotal Sunday for him, depending on how the rest of this crop shakes out here among the top of the leaders here. Scottie Scheffler, 2 under right now, as is his buddy Sam Burns, who is 5 under today, but both of those guys in a tie for 6 right now. So you're seeing some guys really make a charge up this leaderboard with some of the performances that we've seen today, as well as Justin Thomas. He's another one of those names who he has been up and down and up and down, but he had 5 birdies on the front. He has fallen back a little bit, has 2 bogeys here on the back nine so far, but he's just cleaning up on 18. He is currently 4 under for the tournament and is tied for 13th. He is even on the day, as is Adam Scott. He is even for the tournament and had a 5 under performance today, one of the better ones that we've seen. Sungjae Im also 5 under today. That puts him inside the top 20. He is 1 over for the tournament. So we're seeing some guys put together some quality rounds today that could certainly set themselves up for a chance to make a charge on Sunday.
Yeah, and you know, I feel like we're kind of playing golf with a clock, because I think the clock is Mother Nature. When this thing starts to turn, and if it does and when it does. And for those folks who don't quite understand Lynx golf, this golf course epitomizes it. It's 9 holes going out and it's 9 holes coming back in. And basically at Royal Troon, you make your hay, if you will, given normal conditions on the front nine. You get your scores on the front, and then you hold on for dear life as you bring it back to the clubhouse. And so what could conceivably start happening is that you're playing a bit into the wind, and then your turn, you're supposed to have it with you. But if the weather turns, these leaders could be facing a difficult day from the first hole all the way through the 18th. And we watched how Justin Rose and even Shane kind of got started a little bit wonky on the first hole, with Justin Rose actually making a bogey and kind of coming back to the field. But Thurston Lawrence is epitomizing what Royal Troon's about. He, in fact, made 6 birdies on the front nine. He made 4 in a row at holes 3, 4, 5, and 6. But now, as you mentioned, he's starting to get challenged a bit on the backside. So Thurston Lawrence's round to me is going, and how he finishes, it's going to speak a lot about how I think the rest of the field will go about their business. And if this thing starts to turn after a guy like Thurston Lawrence gets into the clubhouse, to your point, Thurston Lawrence might be on top of this leaderboard by the end of the day.
Yeah, if he can just kind of hold here, he could find himself in a really good spot for Sunday. But yeah, we'll see how the leaders do, and as well as guys like Xander Schauffele and Scottie Scheffler and Patrick Cantlay. I mean, you've got some big hitters here in the afternoon to watch, or the later portions of the morning into the afternoon to watch here. And I'm going to be intrigued to see how a Scottie Scheffler can perform so far. He came up 1 rotation short of birdieing his second hole out there. So he's going to be a name to watch, because if he can go low today, he could run away with this thing. It'll feel a lot different than what we saw with Brian Harman last year. But Scottie Scheffler currently 2 under right now, 5 strokes off the lead. Shane Lowry, your leader, at 7 under at the moment. He's looking for his second Open Championship. All right, when we come back, we will talk with Timmy Crawford, one of the local guys who is trying to make it right now on the Korn Ferry Tour. He had himself quite a week last week where he had an ace on a par 4. He'll tell us all about that when we return. This is the CDGA Golf Show, and this segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin.